Chapter 79. Lysander. Teeth of Civilization.
"We have caught the reptiles flat-footed," Cicero says to our new shepherds as we're fired out of the tubes. "Maintain discipline. Maintain your hydras. We kill them all."
Ascomani warships garland the orbit of Io with fireballs as I emerge from the spit tube in armor burnished to a golden sheen. Intending to use my reign as the centerpiece of my propaganda campaign for years to come, I've staged it for maximum visual and allegorical effect. My guild knights form a spear, with me at the tip and Cicero on my right flank. Behind us, 253 new shepherds, their ranks swollen with new volunteers. Waves of Praetorians and two House Loon legions follow my guild vanguard. To the east, Votum and the Reformers. To the west, the Bologna clients. In our wake, the Ascomani fleet burns. They thought they were the lone power left in Ilium. They never stood a chance. All goes according to Atlas's plan, except one thing. The Volk are where they should be, on conquered Europa, but there were far more Ascomani ships in orbit over Io than Atlas said there would be. Not that it matters. In fact, it's preferred. Roan described my feelings best as the infantry loaded up.
"The roaches are all in one bucket, and the lads are in the mood to stomp."
This first fight will be sloppier, the men and women of our fleet filled with rage. Better to vent it now before the serious business with the vaunted Volk infantry and their nasty dreadnoughts. Shorn of the Allfather's blessing, the Volk and the element of surprise that allowed the savages to taste victory at Kalliki and Sungrave, the Ascomani are introduced to the core school of warfare and unmitigated slaughter. Their response to my fleet whipping toward them around the curve of Jupiter was ridden with doctrinal flaws and hamstrung by their lack of a unified command structure. It only shows the depth of Atlas's genius and Far's skill to have made them part of a force that could maul Ilium's best. At the sight of the onrushing Lightbringer, the largest ship any of them will have ever seen, their fleet broke before a shot was even fired. Some fled toward space, as if we would leave paths of retreat. Some stood to fight. Some even rushed toward us to close in and board our ships. They were the first to learn the awesome power of my flagship. Pythus smashed them at ranges of 50,000 kilometers, exactly the treatment their Allfather went to such lengths to spare them from at Kalliki. They are deadly, yes, but not when they are the ones taken by surprise. Racing closer, my praetors and captains vivisected their fleet with calm, professional contempt. Even the enemy's cynical strategy of hiding their charge behind Cosmos haulers filled with civilians was nothing more than a bleak demonstration to all of Ascomani cruelty and ignorance. Ripwing pilots and dashing Bologna and Votum corvettes made mincemeat of them without even scratching their human shields. My boarding ships leapt after Cosmos haulers like flying spiders to pump in Praetorians and gold melee brawlers trained in hostage rescue. With the fleet in Pallas's steady hands, my concerns lie on the surface. The Emerald Garter awaits to be liberated like a maiden from a dragon. The rain is clockwork in its precision, and it reflects the vast doctrinal gulf that separates savages from civilization. Even on the ground, the Ascomani are caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They thought their Allfather gave them the garter to be the heart of their new kingdom. Now they stare up at the sky and see it raining golden death. Lonely strands of gunfire lick up toward us by the time I can make out the individual shapes of the Ascomani flowing onto the battlements of Plutus. They will be discovering that many of their air batteries have been sabotaged, and the blessing the Allfather bestowed upon them by tearing down the kinetic shields over Plutus has now become a curse. Nothing protects them from my reign, not even their prayers. I am the first to pierce the atmospheric pulse dome over the city. Cicero is second. A flight of Ascomani on grav boots serve as an example to the garrison far left behind. more than 200 surge up toward us from the arbor of Akari. Cicero and I bank in opposite directions. Behind us, my spear parts. Into the gap descends a column of light from the Lightbringer to gore the center of the Askamani formation. Cicero and I come back together to fall upon the dazed survivors. I kill my first with my razor out before me like a lance. I take a second with a backswing that cleaves his bestial helmet in half, and my third in his spine just above the shoulders. Cicero kills twice as many with half the effort. He did not joke as we loaded up. Righteous wrath becomes my friend, the courtier. The rest are slaughtered by the new shepherds. Cicero and I pair up again and surge downwards to land hard on an anti-ship gun firing at Roan's assault shuttle. Cicero shoots open the door with his pulse fist. I follow into the firing control chamber to see a collared green sitting in the firing chair. His torso is perforated with a shard of shrapnel. He'll be dead in a minute. A pity. I kill the two Askamani monitoring him and exit to a nod from Cicero. We peer over the city. My shepherds fall on Plutus to sow chaos in the Askamani defenders. Hugely outnumbered, but not for long, the shepherds do their job and pave the way for the Greys. A curtain of dropships falls across the curve of the horizon. War has never looked so glamorous, nor so tidy. I cross the city as it falls to my army. All over Plutus, the Askamani are in flight, or clustering together in knots, only to be targeted by roving gunships, or picked apart by rooftop snipers or drones. Only those who retreat into Plutus's buildings, or down to the subterranean levels of the Garter, by themselves reprieve. But their comms are jammed. They are isolated. And the Praetorian kill squads, aided by new shepherds, are already clearing buildings block by block. By the time I reach the spaceport with Cicero, the fighting there has migrated toward the citrus groves east of the tarmacs. Thousands of Askamani litter the Jurocrete already. Rather, pieces of them do. Roan sentries, joined by a cohort of new shepherds, hit the tribes there as they rushed to their ships. Many of those ships are now on fire from bombs detonated by the Askamani. Spiteful cretins. I land with Cicero beside 30 new shepherds gathering outside a cosmos hauler. Smoke seeps from the ship's topside. Phoenixia, a fellow Lunese of 30, salutes me. She has the honor scar I gave out on Phobos. She's thick as a bull, fond of mathematics, and zealous in her loyalty to me. Imperator, we broke their defense of the spaceport in the first 13 minutes. Most fled north, into the groves. I held here on your directives. Shall we pursue the Greys and lend support to their fire teams? Roan, directing his men from a mobile headquarters nearby, needs no help in prosecuting the massacre. He's already ordering ammunition dumps. Phoenixia itches for action. Understandable, but that's not the impression my girls must leave behind. We're here to save lives, Phoenixia, I say. These ships are loaded with citizens of the society. Help them. Prioritize the severity of the fires. Cicero sets the example and blasts through the cargo bay of the Cosmos Hauler with a plasma charge. He breaches alone. Gunfire flashes from within. I follow. By the time I make it into the hold, he's slain the four Askamani waiting inside. Pulling his blade out of the belly of one, he activates his helmet lights. They illuminate a vile scene. Cages have been stacked as far as the hold stretches. They are filled with low colors, thousands meant for the asteroid homes of the Askamani. Cicero has a spearhead sticking through his thigh. He calls out in a voice, trembling with emotion, "Fear not, citizens! House Loon has come! Lysander has come! You are safe!" To the sounds of weeping, we begin to free the low colors. I am exhausted when at last I stumble away from the smoking haulers to collapse with my shepherds around a Praetorian medical tank. Soot scores my armor. My air filter is so clogged I can't draw oxygen into my helmet anymore. I hack out black phlegm and take water from the tank's hose as Phoenixia passes it on. Cicero standing in front of the rest of us, staring off. With effort, I join him in standing to set an active tone.
The barbarity, he murmurs to me. We must investigate how this came to happen, and punish all found derelict in their duty and all collaborators.
Your leg, Cicero. The spearhead is still through his thigh. Blood covers his entire boot. I motion over an early drop, Medicus.
Cicero, I think it's compressing the artery you— Damn my leg! I can get a new one!
He grabs the Medicus and stabs a finger at a green girl with terrible burns, carried by a woman who looks to be her mother, and pushes the Medicus on.
Triage, Goodman. We are made to last.
Cicero returns to barking at his greys over the comm. The resting new shepherds watch Cicero for a moment. I wait to see what they'll do. Without looking at each other, they all get up and go back to helping the relief efforts. Above, waves of hearthcraft, slow-moving support ships packed with water, rations, and medical supplies, descend from the Lightbringer's hangars to the spaceport to tend to our wounded and the thousands of civilians who huddled in various states of infirmity. It looks impossibly clumsy. All the corpses, all the refugees, all the ships. Gunfire still crackling in the distance. Golds barking orders at centurions, who bark orders at legionnaires, who bark again at civilians. But from the awkwardness comes industry, and from the industry a feeling of order. Cicero's greys must finally be performing to his liking. He shuts down his comm and peers up at the sky. Ripwings pass overhead.
A long trip for a short battle, he says.
The next one will be the real fight, I reply.
I look forward to it, as do my legions. The last time we saw Darrow's painted ravagers, they were splashing mercury red with its sons and daughters.
Not this time, I think. He rips the spearhead out of his thigh and flings it away, jams a paste cauterizing gun into the wound, injects, listens to his flesh sizzle, and glares across the tarmac.
Missed the artery, he says, without looking over. One can feel these things. Let us go see if the Greys need us.
We cross the spaceport to Rhone's command control. Demetrius and Drusilla land as well a few moments later. Fully kitted up in exo-armor, they are neck and neck on the day for the Legion's kill tally. It's kept on the Legion's cloud and updated automatically by their helmet cams. Drusilla salutes me.
Dominus! Kyber and Marcus have freed a cache of high-value prisoners in the Arbor of Akari. Moon Lords and Ara, Gaia.
Cicero turns.
Gaia's alive? I ask, as if surprised. Yes, Dominus. Battered, but healthy.
Cicero breathes out in relief.
Thank Jove, Ara survived. If their line dies out with this... Why don't I have a visual? I ask. Signals are slagged in the city proper, Demetrius draws. Eskimani have tech. Had to rabbit this down the line.
That means the Praetorians are annoyed privately at delivering news I already knew. They want to get back to the hunt and get the Legion bonus for slaughtermonger of the day. I didn't know they had the bonus or the competition until 2 days ago, but recently I've been looking at the guard a little more thoroughly. I was glad to learn that Kyber, amongst a few others, doesn't play their indecorous kill game.
I'll accompany you, Dominus, Rhone says, and passes his duties to a subordinate. You coming too? I ask Cicero. No. He turns toward the rifle fire that still comes from the distant groves. Less greys will die if I'm in the field. Where do you need me, Flavinius? Seventh cohort is having trouble with a tribe holed up in an olive oil refinery. I'll mark it on your HUD now,
Rhone says. Cicero nods to me and bursts into the sky. Rhone, Drusilla, and Demetrius watch him go like a pack of wolves, admiring but no less feral.
I like that one, Drusilla says. Hope he comes back. Me too, Demetrius replies. Phobos, though. Shame if he's slagged up our fine work again. I think he's learned. Olive oil and not even one masturbation joke. Centurion Demetrius, Decurion Drusilla, open your mouths, Rhone says.
They snap to attention.
Bee knives, on tongues, now.
They both stomp their right boot, and knives pop up to waist height. They catch the knives and put them on their own tongues.
Dominus, your dragoons stand by to apologize for their insolence. Orders?
I wave a hand.
Put them to use.
Rhone turns on them.
Rarity gains privilege. It does not assure it. Respect the hierarchy. Prime? Prime, Dukes!
He steps closer and whispers, Flex on your Dominus again. I will fuck you to death with your own knives. Now go make sure our sovereign's friend and valuable ally comes back in one piece. They replace their knives, salute him, me, then take off.
That will not happen again, Dominus. I apologize. And for my language.
Strange thing is, he actually means it. A man with a code, Flavinius. Sadly, not one I understand.
Thank you for handling it, Rhone. Marcus has relayed your alibi to the Moon Lords. Stick to the script. All will be well. Now to Gaia, Dominus. The drags are just dying to see a Ra kiss your feet.
I arrive at the arbor of Akari to the sound of the enemy's lamentations. The arbor where Far kept Gaia and a choice selection of Moon Lords for me has been liberated by my Praetorians and House Legions. Hundreds of injured Askamani and Volk prisoners have been herded into the courtyard beneath the arbor. They wail like hounds to their god. Marcus and Kyber lead out a procession of golds. The Moon Lords are in a deplorable state from their captivity, a far cry from the haughty figures they cast when they declared war on the Republic. They are beaten, bald, and barefoot as they limp into the silver sunlight. To Rhone, this is just punishment for their hubris and mercy considering their treason. To me, it is a tragedy, even if they did lord my own exile state over me the last time I saw them. Many even called me a snake. Sadly, true, but I became a snake only for their protection. I soften my eyes as I greet them at the top of the arbor's steps.
My friends!
I pause, letting them see that I mourn their sorrows, but respect them enough to not condescend with pity or condolences. They would never forgive that. Instead, I offer hard facts. The enemy fleet in orbit is annihilated. Rescue efforts are being made on every Cosmos hauler. My army and allies are deployed hunting down the savages across the Garter and saving as many of your citizens as we can. Our priority is to protect the Garter and restore it to your stewardship. All control established is temporary and for the protection of your citizens and infrastructure. We are not here to stay, only to aid our friends. Their thanks are stoic, polite, and dignified. Where is Gaia? I'm told she is alive, I ask. They part to let a bent, wrinkled old woman shuffle through their ranks. I didn't even see her. She holds Thalia's hand. In the few weeks since I saw her in her cell, Gaia has aged decades. Her eyes are hollow, her skin hangs loose and pale. When she reaches me, Gaia lets go of Thalia's hand and extends it to me. At first I think she means to embrace me. Instead, she says, Gun. All the Moon Lords extend their hands. I nod to Rhone. He gives Gaia his pistol, and as Marcus's men arm the rest. The tattered pants of the Moon Lords rustle against the steps like the robes of judges as they follow Gaia down to the courtyard. Without ceremony, or even a declamation, the Moon Lords open fire on the Askamani prisoners. My Praetorians watch from the steps without expression, but I know they are smiling inside.
Kyber, my eerie whisper, leans against a pillar watching Thalia. The young girl's face is blank. Her eyes flash with the flare of muzzles.
When the prisoners are dead, Gaia limps back up the steps and kisses me on the cheek. Indebted, she says. One by one, the surviving moon lords follow her and kiss my cheek and repeat the most precious phrase in all the rim. Indebted. Indebted. Indebted.
Diomedes? Gaia asks.
The moon lords gather behind the old woman. I'm sorry. We did not see him as we escaped the Dustmaker. I fear the worst. We will avenge him together. We will avenge Io together.
Next? Gaia asks.
I will rally Ganymede to sail on Europa, crush the Volk, and bring Far's head to you on a pike.
No pike, Gaia says. Slow, and with fire.